Deuxième demi-journée de cette station 16 du labo, hein, métamorphose et contamination, la permanence du changement. Et sans plus de fioritures, on va commencer avec l'intervention de Dylan Frigg, qu'il fera en anglais, puisque c'est sa langue maternelle. Et Raphaël et Julien l'ont présenté hier, à la fois l'intervention et à la fois lui-même. Hein, il est philosophe et au département de philosophie de l'Université de Vienne. Le titre de son intervention, c'est « Alien Materiality on the Antinomy of Childbirth ».
Introduction, and thank you to Julian, Raphael, Natalie, and to everyone else who invited me. It's really a great pleasure to be here today and to contribute to this very exciting event. So I'm going to have some words to say on the theme of childbirth. Can everyone hear me okay?
Hello? Is that okay? It's very intimate, very confessional. Okay, so sorry, I have to get going. For an event that is as routine, conventional, and inextricably everyday as childbirth, birth is the site of an irreducible strangeness. In the hallways of fluorescent lit hospitals across the world, special rooms have been constructed to house women in labor. And into these rooms, the fluorescent light has been replaced with soft glow. Not unlike this room right now. We could be having collective labor. Which is emitted against the background of a backdrop of ambient music and tokens of familiarity. From time to time, a doctor will verify the course of labor and ensure that it's proceeding as planned. But otherwise, the task is left to a series of midwives who each day contend with the routine procedure of extracting one body from another body. But in the midst of this organized civility, something strange is happening that exists beyond the realm of modern medicine. A laboring woman enters the hospital, and in turn she will give birth, either naturally or through the intervention of surgery. She will leave, and her body will undergo a series of modifications, not only empirically, but also conceptually. In the midst of this, the body becomes the site of a metamorphosis, revealing itself as a unit of materiality that is both inextricably familiar and irreducibly unfamiliar. Such an atmosphere is one that has been taken up in the theoretical literature on childbirth, and here I just present in the background an emblematic passage from de Beauvoir, set to James Cameron's Alien, but also, and perhaps more viscerally, in aesthetics, and especially in cinema, where the trope of birth is often employed to voice concerns about themes such as bodily ownership, self-integrity, and suspicion of medical practitioners as being motivated by sinister motivations or desires. So, for example, Rosemary's Baby, Alien, Embryo, David Cronenberg's The Brood, in Seminoid, and much underrated, neglected French horror film from, I think, 1990 called Baby Blood. Each of these films deals with the notion of the laboring body as the site of a strangeness, It cannot be integrated into everyday life, despite the fact that birth itself takes place within the everyday. But beyond the familiar trope of birth as a horrifying event, part of its strange aspect seems to center on the theme of anonymity. And one way that this theme comes to the surface is in terms of the asubjectivity of the fetus. The fetus that lives inside of the mother does so beyond and outside of the framework of subjective discourse. There is no communication save for that of two bodies touching and being touched by one another. Yet there is another way to think about this relationship between birth and anonymity, and that is in terms of the uncanny terrain between the body as one's own and the body as other. To speak of the body in its otherness here invokes the idea of the pregnant body as being the host for another body. But what I have in mind is not simply the pregnant body as the host of another life, less even the pregnant body as a foregrounded object of pain. More enigmatic than this, I'm thinking of the body in labor as a body that brings to light the inheritance of an immemorial temporality outside of personal experience. And so I should just sort of preface this, by the way. I'm going to sort of explore some of these ideas of recourse to Merleau-Ponty, the French philosopher, and I'll try and keep this sort of philosophical exposition as brief and lucid as possible. But of course, do feel free to follow it up in questions, should you have any. So, on this point, Merleau-Ponty writes that her own pregnancy is not an act like all the others. Pregnancy is more an anonymous process which happens through her, through the mother, and which she is only the seat. So my plan here in this talk is to think through this issue of birth and anonymity through the framework of Merleau-Ponty, and the genesis of this theme of anonymity within his thought is motivated by a desire to account for the structure of perception. So here what follows is 5 minutes of philosophical blabber. That's a good time to take a break if you want. The point of departure is a question that motivates his work as a whole. Namely, who is it that perceives? And we generally respond to this question in a self-affirmative way. It is I who perceive. I take it upon myself to move through the world, inching and maneuvering in an intuitive sense. I grasp things, I have memories, I have desires, I hold imaginations, wishes, hopes, and so on and so forth. I look at my own body. It's a mass of space organized into parts, and these parts carry with them an affective energy that is seized with an atmosphere of ownership. But who, or what, is it, is this I that enables me to function in the world? To institute meaning and to integrate a bodily mass into a synthesis capable of walking from one corner of the room to another, or in the case of the female body, of giving birth. In response to this question, Merleau-Ponty develops the idea of the body as a body behind the body. Please bear with me. It is not that I perceive, insofar as I am reducible to a set of personal values, desires, and memories, rather that an anonymous one perceives in and through me. So, for example, he writes, a margin of almost impersonal existence appears around us, and which we take for granted, and which I entrust to keep me alive. Here's the longer quote, which I'll give in the background. He goes on to say that personal existence is intermittent, and behind the surface of being a discrete self, identifiable with one's own body, there exists another kind of body, elemental, and in a way indifferent to the self that assumes it in a relational way. Merleau-Ponty, I think, presents us with an account of the body's materiality as being alien. Now, to describe the body as an alien entity, as an alien material, means recognizing that its infrastructure belongs to an elemental time, to a time of the world prior to the constitution and to the advent of the I, the personal I, and indeed forgotten by the I. Against this, a human existence emerges as a particular configuration of an impersonal nature. The inception of the subject, of me, is not only a temporal event, insofar as living beings are born and die. Rather, and much broader than this, we are of time, and time incarnated in flesh. And Merleau-Ponty speaks in this sense of a thought. Of a thought older than myself, which is at work in my perceptual organs, and of which these organs are merely the trace. In the second case, to describe the body as alien means recognizing that our origin lies outside of ourselves, and that the center of our subjectivity is not a personalized sphere of perception, but an alien and anonymous subjectivity which can never be fully integrated into my own experience. I am neither a pure presence nor a pure transparency, and there are other layers working in and through me that create a series of voids in my perceptual life. And there is, Merleau-Ponty writes, another subject beneath me, for whom a world exists before I am here, and who marks my place in it. This self-alienation from both the structure of the body, together with its sensing apparatus, means, critically, that I am never the author of my sensation, but rather the means through which a general existence is destined to the world. And finally, we're coming to the end of the exposition, to describe the body as alien begs the question of how a living subject can experience their own alienage without rendering it a site of familiarity. The question appears paradoxical because to already have an experience is to personalize it. However, the paradox, I think, is dissolved so long as we remain heedful of Merleau-Ponty's observation that an almost impersonal existence surrounds us. It's never complete. We are never entirely dissolved into anonymity. And our lives are, nor are our lives interrupted seasons of bliss. It is true, for the most part, these reflections are absent in lived experience. Carnal life is given to us in and through the lens of a personal sphere that we take for granted. But in this, there is also disquiet. Absence, displacement, hauntings occur, even, especially in the most innocuous of settings. If affective states such as horror reveal the limits of the body as one's own, then they do so because they involve a constellation of different aspects inhabiting the same sphere, to wit, the body.